America, America, the home of the free. But there are people making plans to change America. They've no respect for her, or what matters most to me. That's why I stand for the flag, and I kneel at the cross.
Welcome to EA Truth Radio, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com. I am your host, Dan Hennen. Today is December 28th, 2020. Our show will be about current events from the past week. I will be stripping out the fake news and providing the listeners with much of the news that has happened during the week that's not on the mainstream, that flies under the radar. Keep in mind, this is a faith-based program. We'll start off our episode with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Yeshua Almighty the Christ, we humbly come before your throne and ask that you bless the airwaves and this show. Scramble all devices of the enemy and allow this show to go forth and reach millions. Thank you for giving us our audience, Lord. And please give them the ears to hear this message. Please be with each and every one of them. While they tune into our shows, bless each and every one of them. Ultimately, may thy will be done. In Jesus' living, powerful, active, and matchless name, amen. The founder and publisher of Eternal Affairs, Curtis R. Bazzelli, is a loyal member of Patriot Mobile and encourages you to mention his name. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative mobile phone carrier that will meet all your calling, texting, and data needs. You can get up to $600 off your bill annually when you refer friends to Patriot Mobile. Join us and fight for your conservative values with each call you make on their nationwide cell phone network. Remember to mention Curtis R. Bazzelli when you sign up for service. Lots going on this week. In the past 7 days, let's go through some of the updates, highlights, and a summary of what has been on the mainstream news and what hasn't been that should have been. December 22nd, President Trump pardons George Papadopoulos. This is good news. George Papadopoulos, or Papa D, once again, was one of those individuals that was entrapped by the FBI and made to look bad, but he kind of understood it. He knew what was happening, and it didn't make sense, the people that he was being introduced to along the way. And this ties back into this surveillance with the FISA. We still have not seen the FISA D-class. London was on a lockdown this week. More COVID, more pandemic, more fear-mongering. Remember, it's not just here in the U.S., they're pushing this worldwide. Speaking of COVID, a fainting nurse received her injection, or her vaccine, I should say, and a few minutes later fainted. Now, the interesting thing is this. We all saw the nurse get the vaccine. A few seconds later, she fainted. Her social media, she went on to actually shut down her social media. The reason for that is that her name is Tiffany Dover. Tiffany Dover is on Instagram. Tiffany Dover has various pictures of pizza places. In particular, the pizza place that she's showing has a menu of two different types of pizza. One is called Better Boy, one is called Better Girl. The images that she has on her social media are very similar to James Elefantis that came up with a few years ago with the whole Pizzagate scandal, where pizza was code names and also pasta for little boys and little girls. Now, Tiffany Dover herself was pushing this restaurant as a very good place to eat, but seemed to be pushing a lot of codes and messages. Since she got exposed for that, remember, this is the same fainting nurse. So once again, look at the coincidences here. She went on to shut down her social media after this. Very interesting. An interview with Patrick Byrne this last week was very, very good. He's been kind of leading the charge here with some of this underground stuff. Things not making in the news. And if you get a chance, Patrick Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. Do a search for him. Look at some of his Twitter accounts, tweets, YouTube videos, and interviews. He's basically on the front line. There was rumors on December 22nd this week that California Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, was going to be recalled. And so once again, when we hear things like this, much like Governor Whitmer in Michigan, although the things may be correct, they may be truthful, the intent may be there to remove these people. More than likely, it's not going to happen, though. So that was December 22nd. If you want to look that up, Gavin Newsom basically said the folks are trying to recall him there as the governor of the state of California. This week also, Dr. Birx resigned. World Health Organization, big proponent along with Fauci, Dr. Fauci. She resigned. Also this week, the Robert E. Lee statue was removed down south. That made the news for like only one day, but it was the lead story, and then everything else here took over that went on following the surrounding the Christmas holiday. A little-known article that was very interesting that caught my eye this week was that the Smithsonian Institute is looking for a pledge drive and some donations because they're looking for $1 billion in funding. I think it's a very interesting time for the Smithsonian Institute to be looking for $1 billion in funding with all these things going on, with all this activity and action and everything else. They're looking for $1 billion. And that's not a million. We're not talking hundreds of millions. They're looking for $1 billion with a B. What I found strange. Now, I'll reiterate one additional time here. We've covered this topic in the past, but Brandi Vaughn, the woman that died on December 8th, age 47, who was healthy, she's that Merck rep, pharmaceutical rep, that founded the foundation called Learn the Risk about vaccines. And so if you get a chance to watch some of her stuff, she was murdered, basically killed. She did a very important conference on December 7th of 2016 that you can see on YouTube. She's done some very good informational conferences, workshops, and educational classes on vaccines, the truth about vaccines, what's going on in the vaccine industry, and how that industry works. Very enlightening. She's done a bunch of those things. Her focus is the foundation called Learn the Risk. Well, the video that she did when she started getting death threats or threats and surveillance in her house, she did a video of the strange things that are happening in her house as far as the windows being left open, doors being unlocked. She's one that knows that folks are after her, so she does keep her windows locked, her doors locked. She installed a high-end security surveillance camera in her California home. Strange things started happening. Her laptop is usually kept in a safe place that no one knows where that's kept. She showed in her YouTube video that said it's above the trash can in a compartment in the kitchen. She came home one day that was just sitting on the floor, her laptop, right in front of that location in the kitchen, sitting on the floor. Basically, a message to say, we know where your laptop is, and we can get in and out of your house anytime we want. And on the back of her patio, she came out and saw a little statue, a little figurine of a duck that was sitting there. And her friend, after Brandi asked her friend what this was for, because she did not understand the message or the code that these people are playing with her, the games that they're playing with her to get inside of her head, the friend said, "That's a sitting duck, Brandi. They consider you a sitting duck. They're watching, listening to you. Your house is bugged. You're basically a sitting duck. This is the same woman that was killed December 8th. They said it was health-related, but they took her out, her 10-year-old son, who she's done all this for, basically focused her entire life is on her 10-year-old son that has not been vaccinated ever and is healthy. He's the one that found the body. Very sad case there. Camp Pendleton this week, San Diego, large brush fire. This was December 24th. That was in the news. Kevin Spacey also, December 24th, did a video, a very strange, weird video, uploaded it to the web. I'm not going to get into the specifics about that, but it's Kevin Spacey nonetheless. He is another one of these deep state actors, much like Tom Hanks, Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres, these types of folks. And when they get in and do things like this and make press, it's worth it to note this behavior. There's a new acting AG. Barr has stepped down before Christmas. The acting AG is now Jeffrey Rosen. Jeffrey Rosen, R-O-S-E-N. Rosen. Now, this didn't make the news. But it came out on December 24th that he did receive permission to use classified information for future indictments. This is very interesting to note. Remember, we've got all these indictments, these federally sealed indictments behind closed doors that now exceed the number 200,000. Many of the Truth Patriot folks are wondering, when are these arrests going to be made? When is Gitmo going to be filled? And so that's another key here, key information. He has received permission to use classified information for upcoming indictments. That was announced on December 24th, Christmas Eve. Not much in the news because everything else was in the news. That didn't get anything. Now, D.C. mayor, the mayor in D.C., Muriel Bowser. Yes, that's her last name, Bowser, like the internet browser. She announces that Christmas Eve 2020 has been announced as Dr. Anthony Fauci Day. Now, that's very strange and multiple reasons for this. Dr. Anthony Fauci, he's heading up this whole COVID scare pandemic for fear. And so now they give him his own special day. Well, the odd thing is that the week before Donald Trump, the president, made the announcement that Christmas Eve will be a federal holiday just for this year. Just for this year, Christmas Eve will be a federal holiday as workers have the day off. And so now she comes in, Muriel Bowser, and says that we're going to call it Dr. Anthony Fauci Day. And then we get Dr. Brooks stepping down. Lots of activity in the COVID world. Something to keep in mind here as we move along. Hunter Biden in the news. Article came out on December 24th this week. Hunter Biden still owns a 10% stake in that Chinese private equity firm. Now, this was exposed a year ago after he said he had no connections with the Chinese businesses. Someone exposed the fact that Hunter Biden does himself own a portion of a Chinese private equity firm, and they brought that up. Also saying that he served on the board of directors for this company. Kind of flies in the face of him having no connections. So he was linked to that, and that was a slam dunk. Now, what folks wanted to do was have him sell to get out of that 10% ownership. If he's so interested in cutting ties with the Chinese, he would sell his shares. Now, this isn't 3 or 4 or 5% ownership, which is large in a company this size. He's 10%. 10% stake is huge. That requires additional filings and reporting. And so someone looked, and the effective date of that is still in. He still does own that. He never had sold anything. That's very interesting. Hunter Biden, of course, always in the news. Now, Let's move on to the explosion in Nashville. Nashville. There's an RV parked outside downtown street on the corner of Commerce and Church that officials say exploded and caused all the damage in downtown Nashville on the morning of Christmas Day. Reports have come out now since then that the RV was not the source of the explosion. The RV was there, but those looking at the video evidence show that the explosion did not come from the RV, but in fact across the street, where another, perhaps, bomb was or something went off. Possibly even a missile was directed there. So this is all the makings of a Oklahoma City bombing part two here. As you get the side, you get the public sidetracked on a vehicle. Yeah. It was a Ryder truck in the Oklahoma City bombing with allegedly Timothy McVeigh igniting that and blowing up the building. Later, as the research has done, it shows that there was bombs in the building and the explosives in the Ryder truck were merely, they did go off. The explosions did go off and it was massive. But the damage that was done was caused by the explosives, C4 in particular explosives, in the Alfred Murrah building in Oklahoma City. That's what caused the damage. This explosion looks very similar to that. Looks like they're using that scapegoat, the RV, as the scapegoat there in that. Now, some witnesses have also said that they heard gunshots prior to the explosion. I'm not sure if that's been verified yet or not. But audio did pick up the fact that an audio recording was evacuating people before the explosion went off. Please evacuate. Please evacuate the area. A pre-recorded message was going off before the explosion hit. So there's our foreknowledge. Who set that off? Why was that playing? What was the intent with that? I'll get back to the Nashville event, but I've got a couple other smaller stories. There was evidence that Nancy Pelosi was detained by police on December 27th. I'm not sure if this is correct or even true, but some have speculated on December 27th. This was just yesterday. Today is the 28th. Yesterday that Nancy Pelosi was arrested, detained. Very interesting, because we also had evidence this last week, speculation that Adam Schiff was arrested. There was a post by Lynn Wood, the attorney, on Twitter saying on Christmas Day, I believe it was, that it's a very bad day for Adam Schiff. And some have suspected that he was arrested or detained. And I'm going to keep that, I'm going to keep it limited there on any kind of announcement there, as I do not know. Now, Rochester, New York this week, Rochester, New York, a large fire at a printing business. Basically burned to the ground. This fire, it almost looked like an explosion, but a fire at a printing facility. Turns out later that they print election ballots. The election ballots that they print or printed were part of the 2020 presidential election campaign. It was very coincidental that this location happened to burn to the ground. I'm guessing it's another cover your tracks. Evidence is now gone because of the fire. But the general public just hears that it's a printing factory that exploded in the news one day, out the news the next. But those researching, the digital warriors out there, have got to put two and two together, and they do, because this is the printing facility that relates to the presidential election ballots that were probably incorrectly printed, the fake ones. That's usually what happens. Collateral damage that follows these events are to clean up any loose ends. The Ukraine held a press conference on December 25th. This was not in the news at all. Going after more evidence with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden about their criminal activity in the country. This video came out as a press conference. Didn't get any news, get any press. I would do a search on it to try to find it. But don't confuse this with the video that the Ukraine put out on December 28th of 2019. A year ago today was that video by the press of the officials, the Ukraine officials, holding a press conference announcing the illegal dealings and the shenanigans by the Biden family. That was put out last year. The one that was put out this year on December 25th looked very similar, but it's different in content, different in length. It's a different press conference. That's the one to watch. Of course, that's not making any of the mainstream news. That should be leading story. Stimulus package. Move on to the stimulus package. The Dems have wanted the stimulus package, and all we hear is Pelosi and company talking about the $600 to give to the population. Maybe should it go up to $2,000 and whatnot. And then it gets to President Trump to sign. He reads it over, finds out that it is filled with all sorts of extra unnecessary expenses. Now you do the math, $600 per person, multiply that by roughly 326 million Americans, you're going to come up with a number. Well, the stimulus package was for a number way exceeding that total. And so when Anons looked into this, there was money going to other countries, money going to the Middle East, money going to Israel, money going to all these other countries. And so Trump promptly vetoed it, said not interested in giving money to other countries when we're trying to make ends meet here at home. He sent it back. Now he says, I'm going to raise it to $2,000 per person, get rid of some of this excess. But what he did was invoke the ICA 1974 Act, meaning I'll pass this bill, I'll sign off on it, but I want to invoke the ICA 1974 Act. This means that the president is able to hold up funding for up to 45 days with no questions asked. This did not make the news. What we get in the news is the big headlines that Trump was going to veto it, and now he finally caved. Headlines were Trump gave in. Headlines were Trump caved and signed the stimulus package. Well, he did a workaround with this act to hold up the funding, and he redlined much of the extra additional waste on these expenses that the Dems wanted, redlined it. And what we get from the media, social media, Twitter account from Dan Scavino, works for the president, picture of the redlined diner, image of the red line diner. Folks didn't know what that meant, red line diner. It was comms for something. It was communication for something. It was a code for something. We found out later that same night that the President Trump redlined all this additional, cross it off basically, the things that he did not want to fund in this COVID package, the stimulus package. And so we get our most important basically piece of that package is the red line. But you'll never hear that from the media. All right, the explosion. This Nashville explosion could be felt 50 miles away. This was done on December 25th, Christmas Day morning. It was felt 50 miles away. It was the old AT&T phone switching station. Switching station building, also known as the Batman building. So look at the connections here. Batman building kind of reminds us of the Aurora theater shootings, the Batman shootings, as when they do things like this, the deep state, there are always going to be telltale signs of other things connected to this. So it's felt 50 miles away, which is huge. I still have not seen any of the seismic reports as far as the earthquake or the earth shaking. How impactful this was. This was a very explosive bomb. Officials did come out and say that it was intentional. It was no accident. It was intentional. They blamed it on a man by the name of Anthony Warner. Anthony Warner. Some have done the anagram on his name. And, of course, it comes back to QAnon. And so I think that's the other joke by using this person's name, Anthony Warner. There's some underlying joke there the deep state's doing behind the scenes. So the audio was announced that it did say evacuate now. now in downtown Nashville. This was 25 seconds prior to the blast. The explosion was near the corner of, on 2nd Street, but near the corner of Church and Commerce, in between Church and Commerce. Now, interesting that the explosion was done between Church and Commerce because these are, seem to be the two very things that Deep State want to destroy during the COVID pandemic, is Church and Commerce, small business. They're trying to crush the small businesses in the U.S. They're trying to shut down churches and religion. And this is, seems to be the very place that this explosion takes place. So look at the comms that are going on behind the scenes, some of these things. So they got it blamed on this lone nut with an RV that blew up. But if you look at the footage, you can see a stream of smoke coming down in a diagonal angle into the area, and then immediately following that, an explosion at that location. And so that seems to, some have speculated that it's a missile, something was directed at that spot to cause that explosion. And if you slow it down frame by frame, you do see smoke heading down in a diagonal coming from the sky, and then immediately after the explosion taking place. This area of Nashville is also very common for underground tunnels, tunnels underneath. And remember, the building that they were in, that bank switching building, is where the information, I'm talking NSA type of information, comes in. And when they were talking about doing some of these votes, these recount votes, these legal Dominion voting scandal that was going on since the election, a lot of this is housed at that very location. And so we got to keep that in mind also. Once again, keep in mind the Alfred Murrah building, Oklahoma City, what was housed there. Stacks and stacks of Bill and Hillary Clinton legal cases, documentation that they were, the scandals that followed them were stored in that building exactly where the explosion went off. And now, poof, that is all long since destroyed. No case will ever be reopened in the Clintons because of that. So there's always multiple benefactors, multiple people benefit from an explosion like this. The only thing that was strange is that when the deep state does things like this, they like to get as many people involved. They want high death counts. They want high casualty rates. And so some have expected here this early in the morning with no one there, casualty rates were so low, did it go off at the right time? Well, the outlets in the UK reported this 12 hours off. And so they were predicting, talking about this explosion 12 hours in advance, leading some to speculate that they did have the timing of the explosion or the missile wrong. It was supposed to go off Christmas Eve night when that place was busy, filled with people bustling about on Christmas Eve night as another big explosive, in more ways than one, staged attack. And it failed, went off the next morning. That could certainly be the case. Another thing to keep in mind. Once again, remember to check out all of our articles and content at eternalaffairsmedia.com. And if you feel so led to do so, please click the links in the description to support us financially. We are an entirely independent media operation and end times ministry. We rely on your support to continue providing you excellent content. Go to eternalaffairsmedia.com and bookmark the site, as well as sign up for the email newsletter in case they ever take our social media pages down. Also, a big thank you to our Patreons, those giving the donations. Thank you very much. Once again, my name is Dan Hennen. Today is December 28th, 2020. Thanks for listening. For the friends I have loved and lost, in nasty UBP, we got the trust, and the freedom I fall for those granted us. I hope it's not too late to save America.